All right, we're going to start here on the bottom of Ted Zion Amud Bet with Amar Rukrab Kuspidai, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Shlosha Sfarim Niftachim B'Rosh Hashanah. Three books are opened up on Rosh Hashanah. Echad Shel Rishayim Gimurim. One of them is for those Rishayim, complete Rishayim. Echad Shel Tzadikim Gimurim. One for the complete Tzadikim. Echad Shel Benunim. And then those are in the middle. Tzadikim Gimurim. Those that are Tzadikim Gimurim. Nichtavim. Benechtamim La'altar Chaim. They are written and sealed for our life immediately. Rishayim Gimurim, and then the Rishayim Gimurim are Nechtavim V'Nechtamim, the altar of the mitah, are immediately signed and sealed for death. Benoniim, those in the middle, Tluim V'Omdim, Rosh Hashanah Ad Yom HaKippurim. They hang in the balance between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Zachu, if they merit, Nechtavim L'Chaim, then they are written for life. Lo zachu, if they are not meriting, nichtavim lemita. They end up being signed or inscribed for death. I'm going to come back and discuss this. There's one more piece to put together here, and then we'll discuss the whole thing. I'm Rabbi Yavin, Mikra. What's the source in the pasuk for this? So it brings the pasuk from Tehilim. Imachu misefer chayim ve'im tzadikim al yikatevu. They should be wiped out from the book of life, and with the tzadikim, they should not be written. Imachu misefer. What does it mean to be wiped out of the sefer? Ze sifran shel rishayim gimurim. That's the sefer of the rishayim gimurim. Chayim. Ze sifran shel tzadikim. That is the sefer. Ze sifran shel tzadikim. That's the sefer of the tzadikim. So he's parsing the pasuk of imachu misefer and separating sefer chayim. That's what it says in the pasuk. Sefer chayim, the book of life. Instead, he's calling it the book. And then there's life, the book of life. So the book refers to the Rishayim, the book of life refers to the tzadikim. V'im tzadikim ayikatevu, that refers to the benoniim. Sesifran shel benoniim. Rabbi Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar Mihalcha, he quotes from the pasuk by the Egel with Moshe Rabbeinu. He says, "V'im ayin, if you're unwilling to stay with us and forgive the people, mecheinina misifrecha asher katavto, wipe me out of your book that you have written. Mecheinina, wipe me out. Sesifran shel Rishayim. That's the book of the Rishayim. Misifrecha, zesifran shel tzadikim. Your book is the book of the tzadikim. Asher katavta, zesifran shel benoniim. Tanyo, we have a Tosefta from Sanhedrin. Beit Shammai Omrim. Gimel, kitot hein, the Yom Adin. There are three groupings on Yom Adin. Achad shel tzadikim gimurim, v'achad shel Rishayim gimurim, v'achad shel benoniim. Well, again, the same categories. The complete tzadikim, the complete Rishayim, and those in the middle. Tzadikim gimurim nichtavim v'nechtamim la'altar l'chayulam. The tzadikim are immediately written and sealed for everlasting life. Rishayim gimurim nichtavim nechtamim la'altar l'gehinom. They are immediately signed and sealed for gehinom. Shenemar, as the pasuk says in Daniel, v'rabim mishenei admat afar yakitsu, that many of those that are asleep in the ground will awaken. Eila l'chayulam ve'ila l'charafot l'diron olam. So some of them will wake up for everlasting life, and others will wake up, l'charofot, to curses, denigration, l'diron olam, for everlasting rot. Benunim, yordim l'gehinom, the middle category go down to gehinom. U'mitzafzafin ve'olin, they cry out, they go through a process of cleansing, of yisurim. Ve'olin, and then they return, they come back. Shenemar. Veviti et hashlishit ba'ish. There is a group of individuals. Here is in Zechariah, in Latid Lavo. Hashem brings the Geula. Says, I'll bring a third of them ba'ish, through fire. Vitziraftim kitzrof et hakesef. And I will purify them, smelt them, the way that a person smelts silver or purifies silver. Ubichantin kibichon et hazav. And I will test them like one tests the gold, but again, a process of purifying. They will call out in my name, and I will respond to them. It's obvious that the third here is not literally a third, but there's a group, one of the three groups. Right, one of the three groups. Hanan heard Tfilat Chana by Perk Bet and Shmuel Aleph says, Hashem emit umechaye morid she'ol v'yal. Hashem causes the death, causes life. Moritz Ol puts people down into the grave, Vayal, and takes them back out again. Or here the Gemara is playing on Sheol, not being the grave, but Gehinom. that they go down to Gehinnom and then they are brought up again. Beit Hillel omrim v'rav chesed, matek lapeh chesed, that he leans towards chesed. Aleim amar David, on them David says, Ahavti ki yishma Hashem et kuli, I know that I'm beloved when ki yishma Hashem et kuli, when Hashem listens to my call, to my voice. Aleim amar David, kol ha-parsha kula. The whole parsha there, that Perek Tehillim, is said about these individuals. Daloti vili Yoshia. I have been impoverished, downtrodden, but Hashem will save me. That's talking about those Benunim that end up in Gehinnom and then are pulled out after they are purified. What's interesting here is we have two statements about Tzadikim, Rishayim, and Benunim. You have the statement of Rabbi Kuspidai and Rabbi Yochanan, and then you have the statement of Beit Shammai. So the one in Beit Shammai clearly says, so the Yom HaDin here is unlikely to be Yom HaDin like every year on Rosh Hashanah. Yom HaDin, most will view here as being Yom HaDin Latid Bavo, because the punishments and rewards here are Chaye Olam and Deiraon Olam, which seem to be a permanent state of being, and therefore there seems to be a more longer term or longer lasting type of view of Yom HaDin. Rabbi Kuzdai, Yom Rabbi Yochanan is a difficult statement for a number of reasons. Some of them will answer, I just point out, a number of the problems. One of the problems there, which we won't address, is the fact that he says, by the tzaddikim and the rishayim, nikhtavim v'nechtamim. They are written and sealed. By the benonim, he says that they are tolui from Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and then Yom Kippur, nikhtavim l'chaim or nikhtavim l'mita. They are never sealed. There is no ceiling with regards to the Benonim. You could just argue that that is, he means, when he says Nichtavim, it means that they are sealed. Or you could mean that Nichtavim here comes to upend what was done on Rosh Hashanah. Nichtavim means that on Rosh Hashanah there was a decision. And if that decision is reversed or changed or kept, that's what's been Nichtavim. But it is interesting that there is no Nechtam by the Benonim. Okay, that's what we won't address. But just pointing out to you, that is one of the difficulties here. The other difficulty is, what exactly is going on over here? Who are these tzaddikim, rishayim, and benonoyim? If you're going to tell me tzaddikim mean people that are righteous, you know many people are righteous who don't have a great year afterwards, and many rishayim have terrific years afterwards. And on top of that, who are these benonoyim that sit in the middle? So most of the rishonim understand that tzaddikim mean people have more merits than demerits, have more mitzvot than sins. Rishayim are those that have more sins than mitzvot. And Benonim are somebody in the middle. Now, if that's the case, if the interpretation is somebody in the middle, how many people really sit in the middle? Right? How many people really have just exactly the right amount of mitzvot and averot, and they're all balanced? So the Rishonim all take up different approaches to deal with this. They all have to do that by changing a little bit of the understanding of the Gemara. The most amazing thing is, out of all the Rishonim, the Rambam takes his Gemara literally, which is the most surprising. Out of all people who would have taken the Gemara literally, that's the Rambam. The Rambam writes, in Perash Lishi, from Hilchot Tshuva, Halacha Aleph, Kol echad ve'echad mibnei Adam, yesh lo zechuyot ve'avonot. Mi shezechuyotav yiterot al avonotav, tzadik. Mi shavonotav yiterot al zechuyotav, rasha. Mechsa lemechsa, benoni. In the middle, that's a benoni. V'chein midina, similar with a nation or a country. Im ayu zchuyot kol yoshveh mirubot al avonoteim, harizu tzedeket. Im ayu avonoteim mirubim, harizu risha. V'chein kol olam kulo. And the world as a whole also is judged on this barometer. Adam, shavonotav mirubim al zchuyotav, miyad hu meit v'risho. Shneh ma'arov avonecho. V'chein midina, shavonoteim mirubim miyad hi ovedet, shneh ma'ar zakat sdom v'amara ki rabba. Then, v'chein kolom kulo, em ayu avonoteim rubim zichuyoteim miyad heim nishchatim. Goodbye. Shnemar v'yoshem ki rabba ra'at hadam. V'shikol ze, eno lefi minyan hazichuyot v'avonot, el lefi godam. Yesh zchut shi keneged kama avonot, shemar yan nimsa bol davar tov, yesh avon shu keneged kama zichuyot, shner v'chote achad yaved tova harbe. V'en shoklim el bedato shel kel deyot, v'o yodea hech orchim hazichuyot keneged avonot. So here, the Rambam literally says, it all has to do with this scale. The scale goes to the side of Avonot, it's over. Everything ends right away. Scale goes to the side of Zchuyot, everything's good, and you live. Benoni is exactly in the middle. So again, the Rambam takes the Gemara very literally, and it's amazing, out of all those Rishonim. The only thing that he does qualify, and the Kesef Mishneh points this out, that the Rambam somewhat digs himself out of the problem by saying that it's not just a quantitative measure. It's not simply how many mitzvot do I have, how many averot have. It says certain mitzvot have a lot of weight, certain averot have a lot of weight. We don't know how much it was. Only Hashem knows that. So this scale is not exactly a quantitative scale, it's a qualitative scale, and we don't know how the qualitative measurements are done. That's the only qualification that the Rambam makes to this, somewhat to adjust for the problem. The Raivit on the spot says, I don't know what the Rambam's talking about. Then he says, Kmo shu sover, kishamru rishayim, nechtamim la'alta l'mita, shemiyad metim, ve'enu kain, yesh rishayim chayim harbe. There are many Rishayim that live for many years. Elanachtamim la'altar, shlo yamol uyumehem, shnei hador shenigziru alav. So the Raivit gives a different interpretation and says that the explanation over here is not that death and life like we know it, but rather a person is allocated a fixed amount of life when they are born. They're given so many years to live. So then when the judgment comes on Yom HaDin on Rosh Hashanah, that judgment determines whether you are deserving of the full allotment of the years that you were granted when you were born, or should we diminish from that allotment? So the chayim and the mita over here are not immediate death and immediate life, but rather the duration of life, duration of the years that one will live. One is granted, for instance, 120 years when they're born, and then it can be diminished or it can be maintained. And that's determined by the judgment on Rosh Hashanah. But it sounds like no. According to that, it sounds like you can't increase it. It's simply, are you able to
increase from your original allotment? But let's say someone goes down in 1 year, can they recover those losses?
Yeah, it sounds like yes, that the allotment is maximum and that you can always maintain that maximum or readjust to that maximum, but you can reduce it. That's the way the Raivit learns it. Tosafot over here also grapples with the issue. And over here he says, it's the tail end of the Tosaf in Echtamim. He says, He says, there's no way that this is the judgment on Rosh Hashanah. It can't be Rosh Hashanah because we see the same problem that everybody raises. We see Rishayim that live and we see Tzadikim that die. So it cannot be that case. So he says, this is all the Chayei Olam. The Tosafot Rosh on this Tosafot says that does have impact. The judgment every year is whether you're deserving of Olam Haba or you're deserving of Geinom, are you a Rashar Tzaddik? In that context, then Hashem makes adjustments in the upcoming year. So for instance, a Tzaddik who is deserving of Chayei Olam, then Hashem may sometimes make the next year miserable for them because He wants to purify them with Yisurim in order that they really do gain their Olam Haba. And Rasha on the other way, if he is already a Rasha and he's determined that in the long range he will not make it to Olam Haba, then Hashem may reward him in the upcoming year in order to take away his chuyot. So every year, one is judged again on the final decision of Olam Haba. Even though it's true that the final decision can only be made at the end of one's life, whether they're deserving Olam Haba or not, but at interim stages, that means every Rosh Hashanah, Hashem makes that determination, till now, what is the judgment? And after he makes that judgment, then he makes certain allocations or decisions about the upcoming year, to adjust for the fact that where are you standing at this moment in time. So that's the way that Tosafot explains it. And then in the second case of Yom HaDin, he says it's Kishchayu HaMeitim. That's after Tchiyat HaMeitim. So he differentiates between Rabbi Kruspadai saying that that's talking about every year, about when a person dies, where they're going to go. And then there's another din. Yom HaDin is when you have Tchiyat HaMeitim, because the psukim that they quote from Daniel and Zechariah, which seem to indicate that that's the case. So therefore, in the Yom HaDin that deals with Shrayu Meitim, Afal Pi Shekvar Nidonu Achar Mitatam B'Gan Eden O B'Gan Yinom, they already, when they died, they already had judgment done about this. Plan Nefesh Adayni Yed Din Acher. But because of the Neshama, the Nefesh, there'll be another din, which is Imzi Akeo L'Chai Olam Abba Shehu Kayem Le'Olam. Well, they have everlasting life, L'Chai Olam Abba, because they already were punished, and that punishment now grants them the right for Chai Olam. Or so there's these interim stages of judgment. There's yearly, there's at death, and then the final judgment b'tchiyata meitim. And that's what Tosafot explains in this Gemara. The Sefer Chinuch is found in Parshat Emor with regards to Bechad B'chodesh Shvi with the holiday of Rosh Hashanah. Over there, he quotes our Gemara. And he explains that our Gemara over here, when it talks about Tzadikim and Rishayim, it says Tzadikim Gemurim. Tzadikim Gemurim are people who have never sinned in their lives. Rishayim Gemurim is someone who has no zichuyot. He says, who is judged for life immediately? Someone who has no sins. Who is judged to death immediately? Someone who has no zichuyot. Who is the Benonim? Most people. Right? That Benonim, he just expanded that category of Benonim is basically the whole world because everybody's in a category of not Tzadik Gamor and not Rasha Gamor. They're found in between those two. And that's how he resolves this problem of the Benonim and the judgment each year. Basically, everybody's in that middle category. Ramban explains over here, similar to what Tosafot does in the Yom HaDin. Tosafot mentions over here that Tzadik Gamor and Rasha Gamor mean different things in different places. In the first case of Rabbi Krustai, Tzadik and Rasha are referencing the individuals. Who is a Tzadik? Who is a Rasha? And the second time, Yom HaDin, Tzadikim and Rishayim refers to the outcome of the judgment. Tzadikim is someone who is Nitzdak Badin. Rishayim are somebody who is Nitkayev Badin. He says, so Yom HaDin, or the statement of Beit Shammai, refers to Tzadikim and Rishayim. There mean people who were exonerated in the din and people who were found guilty in the din. Whereas in the first case, Rabbi Krustai, Rishayim and Tzadikim refer to literally people who are Tzadikim and Rishayim. The Ramban takes that definition, brings it up to Rabbi Krustai and says this, Tzadikim Gemurim are people who were Nitzdak Badin. Tzadik Gamur doesn't mean that you are a Tzadik. It just means that you were found exonerated or found deserving in this din. Rishayim means that you were found to be guilty in this din. Benonim is that the judgment still stands in abeyance and Hashem will make a decision. So here they redefine what Tzadik and Rasha are, because then Tzadik and Rasha have to do simply with the outcome of the din, not how the din is done. It's not about who is a Tzadik going into the din, it's who's a Tzadik coming out of the din. By doing that, he changes the way that you would read Rabbi Kruspadai, making it less difficult to read, because it doesn't tell you what the measurements are, it just tells you someone who came out of the din is a guy. It could be a Rasha, it could be a Tzadik, whoever comes out that way already gets Chaim right away. Rasha or a Tzadik that was found guilty gets Mitah right away. That's on Rosh Hashanah. Then you have the middle group of individuals where it's uncertain as to what their din will be, and Hashem gives them an abeyance until Yom Kippur to make the final decision whether they're going to be a Tzaddik or Rasha, again, Tzaddik or Rasha being the outcome of the judgment. Right, so that's just a survey of the Rishonim that deal with this sugya over here, but it's a very difficult, interesting sugya because it really relates to what is going on Rosh Hashanah, what's at stake on Rosh Hashanah each year. According to the Tosafot, we're talking about Latid Lavo. Talking about the Chayei Olam, according to most of the other Rishonim, we're talking about each year, what's going to be coming in the upcoming year. Ravid says that judgment determines whether you are deserving of the full allotment of the years that you were granted when you were born. According to the Rambam, it's even more stark. A person can die immediately as soon as it crosses over that point. Avavanotav Rabim Me Zekuyotav. Right now we continue in the Gemara, which is Poshei Yisrael Begufan. People who sin begufan, which the Gemara will define later on, poshei umot olam begufan, and the poshei umot olam with the gufan, yordim the gehinom, they go down to gehinom, benidonim ba yud bet chodesh. They go there and judge there for 12 months. Lachar yud bet chodesh, gufan kala, their body is been destroyed, given up, nishmatan nisrefet, and then their nishama is singed, burned up, veruach mifazartan, and the wind disperses the, whether it's afer or a fire, and then it goes tachat kapot raglei tzadikim. And then it's placed as a carpet, basically, under the feet of the tzadikim who trample on it. Shenemar, because it says in Malachi, basotem rishaim, ki u afer tachat kapot ragleichem. And so there, the rishaim, in the end,
the ashes of the rishaim will be trampled
below your feet, meaning below the feet of the tzadikim. Aval, Haminim v'amisorot v'apikorsim shekafru b'Torah v'shekafru b'tchiyat emetim v'shepershu midarchei tzibur shenatnu chititim be'eretz chayim v'shechatu v'echtiu et harabim kegon Yerovam ben Nevat v'chayrivav yodim legeinom v'nidonim ba ledorei dorot. They go down to Geinom and they remain there forever. So now, what are the definition of these items? Minin. So Rashi says, what's a min? Anashim asher avchu divrei Elokim chayim lera'ah. Kegon tzdukim u'baitusim. So that's someone who misappropriates Torah for purposes that are not in concert with what the Torah is saying or in concert with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Tosafot brings the machloket that's found in Avodah Zarah about what exactly a min is. So they're discussing whether a min is
someone who is chotel hachis, or is it someone who is oveid Avodah Zarah? Now, there is an alternative girsa in Rashi about a minim, which says the description of a min is Tamidei Yeshua Notzri, which is a terminology that was associated with those individuals, the term min, but then might have been changed by the censors later on. In addition, in the Gemara, contained in the list here, is also a term called Mishumadim, which is also erased or censored out of the Gemaras.
Vamisorot. Misorot, Rashi says, Malshinim Shmosrim Mamon Yisrael B'yadov Dei Kochavim. People who tattle to the authorities and give over the property of another Jew to the authorities. Now, obviously, this is where it's not justified and where it's inappropriate to do such a thing. In times when the authorities were not just, or the giving up the property landed a Jew in a very difficult situation where he couldn't adjudicate the case and get a fair trial. In those instances, a moser was seen to be somebody who was terrible outside of the fold, someone who was deserving, like here, of a moser, deserving of Gehinom. Unfortunately, today it's been taken to the point where people won't involve the authorities, even in cases where it's important to involve the authorities, like in cases of abuse or sexual abuse, where the authorities need to be brought in, and people call those people that bring in the authorities mosrim, which is certainly not the case, certainly not the definition. Vapi korsim, Rashi says here, are those that are mevazeh tamidei chachamim, those that denigrate the tamidei chachamim, shekafru b'torah, that deny the Torah, shekafru b'tchiyat emitim, and they deny tchiyat emitim. Then, there's a statement here, shepirshu midarchei tzibur, that they left the ways of the tzibur. Rashi eliminates this from the Girsan, he says, all of these individuals above, that is the definition of what they are, pirshu minatzibur, they left the fold, they went outside of what's considered the norm. And that's why they're pershumi darchei tzibur, that's why they're punished. So Rashi says this is like an overarching description of everybody till now. It's not a separate category of pershumi darchei tzibur. All right, so now, vishnatnu chititim beretz chayim. We're going to see this in a second. The Gemara will describe this. Vishachatu vishachti utarabim. They sin, and then they cause others to sin. Kinyom revam benevat v'chabirav.
And the Gemara in Sanhedrin explains why it is that someone who is machtia terabim is not mikabel olam habar, ends up in this situation, because how could it be, even if they did tshuva, they left behind a mess of people who cannot do tshuva because they were led astray by this individual, and how could it be that they're in Gan Eden or they're okay, and the people that they caused to be choteh are now laying in Gehinom or in a difficult situation. Therefore, they're held responsible not only for their own actions, but for the actions of those others that they influenced or led astray.
Redeem the Gehinom. They all go down to Gehinom. Nidim ba'al dori dorot. They're there forever. Shneamar. Pasuk in Yeshayahu, which comes from the Haftorah of Hashemayim Kisi, Vaya Midei Chodesh Kocho, and Midei Shabbat V'Shabbato. And the last pasuk says, V'yatzu v'ra'u b'kprei grei ha'anashim apushim bi, that you go out and see the corpses of those people who have sinned against me. And then it continues and says that they will,
Ki tolatam lo tamut, v'isham lo tichbe, v'ayu de'ra'on l'chol basar, their decay will not cease, and their burning will never be extinguished, and they will lie in disgrace before all of the world.
They will be burning forever and rotting forever, and that this will be a continuous process. Gehinom kala, ve'eim einem kalim. Gehinom will be ended, but these people will never end. Shnemar, mitzuram levalot she'ol. That their figure, their makeup will be swallowed up by she'ol, by the depths, by the grave. Over here, Sheol, I mean, means Gehinom, that they'll be permanently in a state of Gehinom, even though Gehinom might end, they'll still be in that state of Gehinom. V'cholkach lama, why is all this? Mipnei she'pashtu yidehem b'zvul, because they put their hand at the zvul. They put their heads against the abode. Shenemar mizvul lo, v'in zvul ele beit ha-migdash. Why is there going to be punished like this? Because of the abode of Hashem. It says about the beit ha-migdash, Shenemar, bano baniti bayit zvul lach. I built for you a house, a place of abode. So the Beit HaMikdash, or Hashem's a place of presence, is known as the Zvul. So they stuck their hands, Pashtu Yudayim B'Zvul. As Rashi says, Shechribu Beit HaMikdash Ba'avunam. It's not that they physically destroyed the Mikdash, but their sins caused the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. And so because of that, they will be left to everlasting rot and put in Gehinom. Baleim Amra Chana, and Chana in her tefillah says about them, Hashem yechatu mirivav. Hashem will wipe out, destroy those that are his enemies, those that fight against him. Amar Yitzchak Rabin, Upneim domim lishulek deira, and their faces are like the bottom of a pot, the bottom of a pot which is blackened. That's what their faces look like, black. Rama Rova, and Rova now comments, Veinu mishapire shapire bnei mechuzah, the best of the best, the nobility of bnei mechuzah. In the future, they'll be known as the children of Gehinom. Rava's talking about Rava's city. He was the Rava of the city of Mechuzah. And Mechuzah was known as the city of Mifunakim, people who enjoy the good things in life. And he says here that the people of the nobility here who are pampering themselves and only enjoying life and not acting appropriately, they will in the end be the ones who end up as Bnei Gehinom. They're enjoying their lives here, but it won't be so pretty. Amar Mar, Beit Hillel Omrim, we saw before that Beit Hillel says, Rav Chesed, Mateh Klapei Chesed, that Hashem leans towards Chesed, V'aktiv, doesn't it say in the Pasuk that we brought from Zechariah, Ve'eviti Ashlishit Be'esh, over there it says that I'm going to first have to cleanse them, purify them, so they're not going to just get away. Mateh Klapei Chesed seems to indicate that, even though the person's not deserving, Hashem goes with Tzad Chesed and gives them an exoneration. On the other hand, we have the Pasuk here, which is telling us, don't get exonerated, they get purified. They go to Gehinom for a certain period of time, and after they're purified, then they are exonerated. So Gemara says, Hotam b'poshe Yisrael b'gufan. Now that's talking about poshe Yisrael b'gufan. Those poshe Yisrael b'gufan, they get put to the fire for 12 months, and then they're cleansed out. Poshe Yisrael b'gufan, v'amar le'luhu takanto. You said that they have no rectification. That was the number of individuals that we said before that don't get any chance out. I mean, that they're in, and they're in for good. Then they have no way out. That's when they have a majority of sins. Here's where it's 50-50. And amongst those 50-50, they have the avon of poshe Yisrael begufan. It's not enough for them. If not, then it's mate klape chesed. So there are three categories over here. The category of individuals who have majority of sins. Amongst those sins are poshe Yisrael begufan, they have majority of sins. They're gone for good. They're put into Gehinom, they are burnt up, and that's the description here. That gufan kalav nishmatan nisrefet ruach mefazartan. That's the description. Those people have a majority of sins at the end of their life. And including one of these sins of poshe Yisrael begufan. There's another group of individuals, 50-50. 50% sins, 50% zechuyot. In that case, if amongst the 50% avonot is poshe Yisrael begufan, in that instance, then they get the time in Gehinom to cleanse themselves in the fire, and then they're brought out afterwards. Because qualitatively, even though they're quantitatively maybe 50-50, because they have this sin of poshe Yisrael begufan in there, they have to be cleansed by the fire. And then there's the last group, which has 50-50. Over there, Hashem is mata klape chesed. Hashem helps those individuals out as long as they don't have the sin of poshe Yisrael begufan. Baleim amar David, and on them David says, "Afti ki yishma Hashem et kuli." And that's the pasuk that we brought before, that they are rescued because Hashem listens to their tefillot and saves them, or listens to their cries and saves them. Torah Shrova, my dichti v'afti ki yishma Hashem, amra Knesset Yisrael v'nei Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Ribono Shalom, imatai ani ahuva defanecha? When am I beloved before you? Bizman shata shumea kol tachanunai. That's when you listen to my prayers, when you listen to my beseeching. Daloti belo yoshia, afo pish dalani, mina mitzvot, even though I am impoverished from mitzvot, li na eloshia, it's still nice to save me. This is the idea that Hashem sometimes, even though the person is not deserving, Hashem helps them out and is mater klape chesed and gives them chesed and does not punish them because they're at that point of 50-50 now where the Gemara says, and since they don't have within that grouping of 50 one of these sins of poshe Yisrael begufan, therefore Hashem is willing to be mater klape chesed. Poshe Yisrael begufan, my ninu. So this is the essential question. What is a person that poshe Yisrael begufan? So Amarav, karkafta delomanach tefillin. A head that does not have tefillin put on it. So karkafta means a skull or a head, and a karkafta, domanach tefillin, is considered to be poshe Yisrael begufan. The question of what the meaning is here, is this someone who never put on tefillin in their life? Or is this someone who didn't put on tefillin one day? What's the meaning of this? So Tosfot already takes up the issue, and he says, Im osek b'torah k'miniach tefillin dami. Person who learns Torah is the equivalent of miniach tefillin. This comes to an interesting issue with regards to Kriyat Shema and tefillin, certain items where they seem to be connected to Limud HaTorah. And therefore the Gemara says with Rashbi, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai v'Chavei Rav, they didn't have to say Shmon Esrei because they were Osek v'Torah Yom V'Layla v'Eim Meniachim Chayei Olam, discussing Chayei Olam, dealing with Chayei Isha. The other hand, the Yerushalmi quotes that same Gemara with reference to Kriyat Shema. The Bavli learns that they have to say Kriyat Shema because that's Deoraita, and they have to say Kriyat Shema and they have to learn. The Yerushalmi sees that they don't even have to say Kriyat Shema because they're Osek b'Torah. They see Kriyat Shema as being an extension of Limud HaTorah, and you see that many places in Shas, even in the Bavli, where I want to know what's the minimum amount a person has to learn each day. And here the Gemara says, oh, if he says Shema Yisrael, he's done. So there is a certain aspect of Limud HaTorah associated with Kriyat Shema. Therefore, someone who is like Rashbi, who's Kulo Torah, Torato Umanato, there he doesn't have to say Kriyat Shema. Tefillin, which obviously contain Kriyat Shema in them, might also have that aspect of Limud HaTorah associated with them. Wearing the tefillin is as if you're carrying around a Sefer Torah with you, a mini Sefer Torah. So thereby tefillin, you might have an extension of Limud HaTorah. That's what Tosfot says over here. If a person is Osek b'Torah, it's the equivalent of Meniach tefillin. So the whole point of putting on tefillin is like as if you're carrying around a little Sefer Torah. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, when it discusses about the Sefer Torah of the king, some people say that Sefer Torah that the king carried around was really like a tefillin, and he used to wrap it around his arm. Similar to tefillin. So that's the same idea, conceptually the same thing, that tefillin are really about carrying the Torah with you. So if you're learning Torah, you may not need tefillin. That's what Tosfot says over here. Then he brings the second thing from Rabbeinu Tam, which is important, because Rabbeinu Tam ifaresh, dahak shem mitzvah bzuya alav. The reason he hasn't put on tefillin is because he's not interested in the mitzvah. It's something like silly to him. He doesn't want to do it. Shemagunu avalav ritzuot shel tefillin shebrosho. He doesn't like it. It bothers him. V'm yarei laniach mishum debin and guf naki. If he doesn't put them on because you require a guf naki, kelisha bal kinafayim, then badai in alav din poshe yisrael begufan. Then definitely doesn't have that status. This is obviously if he didn't do tshuva. If he did tshuva, then he can overcome the problem. But also he says here, he's dealing with a real issue. In the time of the Rishonim, we discussed this in the past, many people did not put on tefillin whatsoever. Because in the time of the Amoraim, when they're discussing tefillin, they wore tefillin all day. By the time they get to the time of Rishonim, nobody can keep tefillin on all day because of guf naki. So they didn't put it on at all. The Rishonim are fighting against that attitude. And what comes to the compromise of what we have today, which is at least put it on during davening. So you can't wear tefillin all day. Put it on during davening. Put it on once a day. Put on the tefillin. You can hold the guf naki for a short period of time and have the proper thoughts for a short period of time. That's a compromise that we do today. In their day, it seems that people didn't put on tefillin at all. And Rabbeinu Tam is saying those people are worried about guf naki. Don't put on tefillin. They're not pushing tefillin gufan. They're doing it for the right reason. They're not putting it on. Although it's a serious issue. People didn't wear tzitzit. People, the Ibn Ezra discusses it. Tosafot discusses it in many places. They didn't put on tefillin because of these problems of guf naki. And they're fighting that trend and saying, at least for davening, put on a talit, put on a tefillin for davening, at least do it for one time a day. This statement in the Gemara leads to what you know as the Chabad who goes around always trying to put tefillin on everybody. Did you put on tefillin today? They ask everybody, did you put on tefillin? They try to get people to put on tefillin once in their life, so they should not be Poshe Yisrael B'Gufan. That was what the Rebbe wanted. The Rebbe wanted people not to have the status of Poshe Yisrael B'Gufan. If we get tefillin on people at least once in their lifetime, they can say they did it. The mitzvah tanks that go around and they put on tefillin on people, they stop people on the streets to put on tefillin is exactly this reason. Not sure that's the literal meaning of the Gemara over here. Put on once in your life, you're saved. But they felt that there was something significant about a Jew put on tefillin at least once in his life, that he wouldn't be classified as Poshe Yisrael B'Gufan. Now, what are Poshe Umot Olam B'Gufan? That we said before, Marav Babeira. So obviously it's not talking about tefillin for them, it's talking about Avera, as Rashi Tosafot discusses. Avera means arayot, people who are involved in promiscuity, in those arayot that are asurot, the ben Noach. Vishnatnu chititim be'eretz achayim, who are those individuals? This is a ruler, person who's in a position of power, who wields that authority or power, shalol l'shem shemayim. He instills fear in people, he makes people's lives difficult, not l'shem shemayim, but simply to exert his authority, to prove that he is powerful and that he can push people around. Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, po parnas amatil eimayi teira l'tzibur, shalol l'shem shemayim. Inu Re ben Talmid Chacham. He doesn't see a child who's a Talmid Chacham. Shnemar. Lechein Yirei Uhu Anashim Lo Yirei Kochach Meilev. Because people are fearful of him, Lo Yirei Kochach Meilev. He will not see any Chachmeilev. Those people Chachmeilev are into Talmid Chachamim. Because he instilled fear or unnecessary fear on others, he won't see any Chachmeilev. He won't see any Talmid Chachamim born to him. Okay, now Beit Hillel Omrim V'Rav Chesed Mate Klapei Chesed Hechi Ovid. How does this work? So Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Kovsho, he presses it down. Shinemar, Yeshub Yirachamenu Yichvosh Abonotenu. Shem will have mercy on us. He will suppress the Abonot. Rabbi Yossi Baruch Hanina Amar, Nosei. Shinemar, Nosei Avon Vaovera Pesha. He uplifts it, and therefore it passes by the Pesha. What they're discussing here is a scale. There are two ways to make a scale be Machriya. To put a scale to force it to go the way you want. If you want to know, are the sins greater than the merits? Just put them on the scale. And on a scale, you'd have the merits way down, and the sins will rise, and the merits will go down because they're heavier. So that's the question here. How will Hashem be mateh? In the imagery of a scale, if I have a scale that's sitting here and I want Hashem to go in our favor, he can do one of two things. He can press down on the schuyot side, or it raises the evanot, or no say. He can lift up the chataim side, and that'll cause the zechuyot to go down. That's how they're arguing over here. Kovesh means to press it down, and then nosei means to makbia the avon. So either he lifts the avon or he presses down the zechuyot in order to have the scale weigh in our favor. Right now, Tana, Debei Rabbi Yishmael, Mavir Rishon Rishon. This should be familiar to it. We say it in the Kel Melech Yosef Al Kisei Rachamim. We say that Hashem promises Mavir Rishon Rishon, that one by one he'll remove them, or first one first he'll remove them. This is the way that Hashem conducts himself. Amarova, Vavo Natsmo Enu Nimchak. But the sin itself is not erased. Deika Ruba Avanot Machshiv Adayu. Because if he has a majority of Avanot, then even when Hashem takes away that one Avon, it gets counted with him. A person's on an equal basis, and he pulls away an Avon, the scales will be weighed in his favor. So Hashem waits, looks at the total, pulls away one Avon, and sees that the scales go in his favor. If they go in his favor, then Hashem leaves it that way, and the person is exonerated or goes to the positive side. But on the other hand, even after you take off that first sin, then the scale still weighs to the Avonot. Hashem puts that sin back in, and the person is punished along with that sin. The Rambam writes about Mavir Rishon Rishon. How does it work that Hashem is Mavir Rishon Rishon? How does that work? Function. How does it work? So the Rambam quotes here, Per Gimo Elcha Tshuvah Alocha Hei, Hisha Shishuklim Avonot to Adam. Im Zichuyotav, Ein Mechashvin Alav Avon Shechata. That a person who has Zichuyotav, they don't count with him Avon Shechata Bo Tchila, Velo Sheni, Velo Shlishi. Person who sins the first time, second time, Ela Mishlishi Velech. Only the third one in honor counted. If then it finds that his avonot are greater, then those two avonot are thrown back into the pile, and they dine on the all. If they're exactly equal, from the third one and on, they take away the first one. And then, since the third one is considered Rishon, Shvarnim Chalu Shnaim, the first two are gone. V'chein Revi, after you wipe out the third one, the fourth one becomes the first sin. And Hashem is Mavir Rishon Rishon, until he wipes away all the sins. B'met, by Ramarim B'yachid. That's by an individual. Shinemar Hein Kol Eila Yifal Kel. By a Tzibor, he gives him three instead of two. That's the way the Rambam learns it. The Rambam combines two memorot. A memorot that we have here of Mavir Rishon Rishon, and a memorot from the Gemara in the end last paragraph of Yoma that says, that a person, when he sins the first time, it's considered an accident. The second time, it's considered an accident. By the third time, then it's already considered to be that he's made it into heter. Heter, the Gemara says, no, he acts like heter. It's changed, and now he doesn't have any more inhibitions. The sin becomes a part and parcel of him. So everybody's only punished from that third sin and onward. The first two, he's not held accountable for. What the Rambam does is combines those two Gemaras and says, a person's not held accountable for the first two sins. From the third sin and on, if he has equal, then Hashem's Mavir Rishon Rishon. That's the way he explains it. And of course, the Rebbe jumps on him and says, where did he come up with this idea to connect these two Gemaras? These two Gemaras are totally independent of each other, have nothing to do with each other. He's making a big mishkabab of all of this. He says they're completely separate dinim. He saw in our Gemara, Rav Chesed, Mateh Klapei Chesed, which is the statement of Beit Hillel. That's what we just learned today. Then he saw in the Gemara in Yoma in the last parak. Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda omer, Adam chote pam rishona v'shnia, u'shlishit mochlim lo, revi'it ein mochlim lo, savar b'dato she'ein inyan achav. He says they're one thing. Ve'ein rechukim me'od. They're very far apart. Died the Rabbi Shmuel. That's referring to Rabbi Shmuel, the Yom HaDin HaGadol. That's talking about the Yom HaDin HaGadol in the future. Let's see, Benoni Migehinom. That's what Beit Hillel is referring to. Remember, Beit Shammai says Yom HaDin. Yom HaDin then is the Yom HaDin La'atid Labo. And Beit Hillel's comment is on that statement of Beit Shammai. Ben Sham Zecher LeMechilat Avon. That's nothing to do with forgiveness. Avad, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, B'olam HaZeh. U'betchilat Ma'asav Shel Adam. Sorry about a person who just becomes responsible for his actions. Mimeon Shov Ve'elech. When he gets punished. Shechata Rishon Ve'Sheni. Vashlishi Shiz Damnu Liyadom. Yassam Mehem Tshuva. Person does Tshuva. Afupi Shehein. Min HaChamurim. Even though they're from the more stringent or difficult sins. Tzrichim Yisurim. Yom HaKim LeMareik. Even though you would have to get Yisurim in Yom Kippur. Ha'elu Rishonim. Inam Tzrichim Shemokhlim Ligamre. We wipe them out completely. Zohi Hatzat Advarim Bikram Vein Efresh Bigmara Ben Yachid Tzibur Vleyatati Ma'in Motzo. And he differentiates between Yachid and Tzibur. That's also something that's not found in the Gemara. So what the Raivot says is, what does it mean if you take away one by one? It's not Rosh Hashanah that he's talking about, like the Rambam suggests over here. Rather, it's talking about that Tzid Labo, that he protects these people from Gehinom by taking off one at a time, which seems to be what the Gemara was talking about over here. On the other hand, what's it talking about when he has the first two? The Raivot has this, Gersa says the first three are wiped out, only held accountable on the fourth. That's when a person's a young person just coming into the age of responsibility. So when he just comes into the age of responsibility, the first couple of times we say that he's not well-versed, he's just making mistakes, he's tripping up. But once he gets older, when he learns his lesson, then he is held accountable for it. So those sins are wiped out completely. They're not brought back into the slate. As opposed to the Rambam's understanding, the Ritva understands the riff in this way, which is, yes, he connects the two Gemaras, but he says, Mavir Rishon Rishon only applies to the first two or three sins. Then Hashem is Mavir Rishon Rishon, and gives the person the opportunity to reweigh the scale if he's Mavir Rishon Rishon. But after that, he won't be Mavir the Averot. So the Gemara in Yoma is a cap on the number of times that Hashem will be Mavir Rishon Rishon. So like the Rambam understood the Rif as these two Gemaras being connected, the Ritva also understands it that way, but he comes to a different conclusion about what the connection between those two Gemaras is. The Ritva then brings an alternative, which is that the Gemara in Yoma says that the sins are wiped out entirely. Those are never recalled. Our Gemara over here says from the fourth sin and on, it's Mavir Rishon Rishon, but only if a person has majority of mitzvot then. But if after Mavir Rishon Rishon, he still has a majority of Averot, then that fourth sin is counted, and he's held accountable for it. And as we said before, the Raivod says that the Gemaras have nothing to do with each other. The Gemara in Yoma is talking about a person when they first reach the Gil HaMitzvot, or the Gil of responsibility, the age of responsibility. There, they wipe out those because a person is not yet fit to fight the battle against the Yetzer Hara. Sure, Hashem forgives those sins completely. On the other hand, Mavir Rishon Rishon has to do with the din that comes each year and not connected to the Gemara and Yoma that was described over there. The Ritva brings a version of that, which is that Hashem weighs the scale without those sins in them. Nothing to do with Mavir Rishon Rishon. The first two get dropped permanently. Doesn't matter. And then you're weighed from that point and onward. Right, so that's how this Mavir Rishon Rishon really works in terms of wiping out the one at a time. Is it the way the Rambam describes here in the Mishnah Torah, where the Raivot explains it, and what's the connection to the forgiveness of other sins, the first couple of sins versus the other sins? Most of the Rishonim separate them. The Rambam puts them together and says that they're part of one system of measurement. Now, this is one of the most important statements, I think, in these three daf. It's probably something that will make a difference for everyone's lives, something worth keeping in mind. Amarova, kolamavir amidotav, mavirin lo akopishav. Whoever is willing to be Mavir Amidotav. Mavir Amidotav is a person who is not makpid on his own kavod, does not get upset when he's affronted, when people do wrongs to him. He does not harbor grudges. He's able to walk away and let it fall off his shoulder and say, no big deal. I mean, there are different levels of this. Right? One level is a person, even though they feel bad about it, they still are able to walk away and not respond. The other people, that even after this happens to them, they are not affronted at all. They don't take affront to it. They don't feel bad about it. They say, all right, that's it. Who's coming my way? This person, they have their issues. That's it. And able to walk away without harboring any bad feeling or ill will. That's even a higher level. I just heard Rabbi Willig telling a story about himself that he had one time a person called him up and he had said something over at the Bar Torah or something like that. And the person was upset about what he had said. He called him up on the phone and he was screaming at him and saying all sorts of things to him on the phone. He said that at that time, it was before they had cordless phones, they had a long wire on the phone. He took the phone out. He was, I don't know if he was in bed. He went out somewhere. He started to dance. He said he was so excited. Here he could be Mavir Amidotav. This person's screaming his head off at him, being mavizeh him. And he just takes it. He says, he just listens. And he can enjoy. That's a kol Mavir Amidotav. Mavirino kol pishav Hashem. Also then is Mavir. That if you treat other people b'midat din, if you hold them to the letter of the law and you get upset at them when they wrong you, whether you should be or should not be upset, leaving that aside, whether they really wronged you or not, then Hashem's going to conduct himself in the same way, midah k'neged midah. When it comes to your sins, Hashem's going to hold you to the letter of the law. You want Hashem to be berachamim and mercy and take things on the slide, say, okay, things are okay, it's not so bad, we can let this go, then you have to do the same for others. Hashem will conduct himself towards you the way you conduct yourself towards others. If you let go, if you are okay and don't hold grudges and don't get upset and let things roll off your shoulder, Hashem in the same way will give you opportunities. Now obviously, kol amer Hashem vatran, mevatrin lo achayav. Anybody says that Hashem lets things go, mevatrin lo achayav. It doesn't mean that Hashem just, oh yeah, forget about it. No. Hashem will give you the opportunity to do tshuva. He will not punish you immediately. He'll have mercy on you. That's important. So, kol ha'mavir amibotav. I'm getting it. This is the most important thing. A person wants Hashem's forgiveness. Hashem wants Hashem to look favorably upon them. Just act that way towards other people. And Hashem reflects that midah in you that you give to others. Hashem will do the same for you. And that's what Rava states over here. Shneamar, how does he know that's true? No se'avon v'alver ha'pesha. Says in Micha, se'avon v'alver ha'pesha. The mi no se'avon. The mi shover al pesha. Who does Hashem carry the avon for? The one who's over al pesha, who lets the pesha go. The gra reverses the gears over here. You can see it in the gra. Gra says that it's mi over al pesha. Who does Hashem forget his peshaim? The mi shenoseh avon, the one who carries the avon, the one who doesn't worry about what others do to him. He just lets it go. Rav Huna, bray the Rabbi Yeshua Chalash. He fell ill. Usually when the Gemara says fell ill, it means that he's on his deathbed. Chalash means that he's significantly ill, that the feeling is that he won't recover from it. Ara papa the shu'ule bay. My papa went in to see his well-being. He went to see how he was doing. Chazi the chalash le'alma. He saw that was the end. He was going to die. Amar lo'u tzvitule zavata. Prepare for him his accompaniment. That meant prepare the tachrichim for him. He's going to die. Basof itpach. He came back. He was healed. He recovered from the illness. Have a mix of Rav Papa the Mechzid. Rav Papa was obviously embarrassed to see Rav Huna because Rav Huna Brei Yeshua, he had already proclaimed him dead, and now he is walking around and recovered from it, so Rav Papa is embarrassed about it. Amrulei Maichazit. They said to him, what did you see? It's obviously that Rav Papa knew that he was going, and so he was on the verge of death. And so they said to him, what did you see at that time? So Amrulehu, he said back to them, in Hachiyava, Rav Papa was right. I was on my deathbed, I was going. But Vamar Lurua Kodesh Baruch Hu, Shem says to, what was the Malach HaMavet, to the Satan, Hoil v'lo mokim b'milei lo tukumu ba'dei. Since he does not stand his ground, meaning that he forgives people, he lets things roll off his shoulders, don't stand your ground with him, let him go. And he gets another chance. Shneamar no se'avon v'over al pesha, the mi no se'avon, lo ver pesha, and obviously for the grow, it would be the girsu, the opposite, the mi, over al pesha, the mi no se'avon. So the one who's able to turn his cheek, the one who's able to let things roll off, then Hashem acts the same way. And here they have a living example of Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua who had this experience. All right, now the pasuk in Micha, quote from Perek Zayin in Micha, the Sherit Nachalato, it says to the remainder of his Nachala, Amar Rabbi Acha Bar Chanina, Alya V'kotz Ba. He's giving you the fat of the tails, which is the good part, the best of the meat, the kotzba, but there's thorn inside of it. It's really good news with a little tinge of bad in it, which is shereit l'achalato v'lo l'chol nachalato. Hashem promises that he will yashuv yirachamenu yichvosh avinoteinu ve'noseh avon v'varel pesha, which all in Micha Zayin, but that's l'shereit nachalato, which means l'shereit nachalato v'lo l'chol nachalato. Only those that remain, not to the entirety of his nachala. So it's good news that Hashem will have rachamim on us and be over al pesha, but it's not everybody. And who is it? The mish meisim atzmo kishirayim, the one who makes himself like leftovers. Again, a similar type of idea, which is Mesir Mazok Shiraim, he makes himself, he doesn't make himself into importance, self-aggrandizement, importance, he doesn't makpid on his kabod, makes himself like leftovers, like nothing. When he does that, then Hashem will take care of him. That's obviously a play on the words of Sheirit, Nachlato, the remainder. There it's talking about those that remain after all the punishments and all the bad, those that remain. But here he's saying, who are going to be those that are left over? People make themselves like Shiraim. Ravuna Rami, Thief, says in Ashrei, Tzadik Hashem b'chol derachav, v'chassid b'chol ma'asav. So it says Tzadik Hashem b'chol derachav, and then after it says v'chassid b'chol ma'asav. V'tchila Tzadik, v'lusov chassid. Tzadik means tzedek or midat adin, and chassid is someone who is lifni mishurat adin. So which one is it? Is it Hashem is a tzadik b'chol derachav? Is mishurat adin in all his ways, or chassid, is he lifni mishurat adin? So the Gemara answers, Tchila Tzadik, in the beginning he goes by shurat adin, Lusof Chassid, in the end he realizes that it's not going to work if Hashem just keeps it to shurat adin, and therefore in the end he acts like a chassid. I've mentioned this in the past, the word staka is a derivative of the word tzedek, and not a derivative of the word chesed. That staka is shurat adin. That's the Or HaChaim points out in Parshat Mishpatim, that it's not that you're giving away money that's yours. I mean, shurat adin, you got money that didn't belong to you, and you have to give it away. Hashem allocated you money that belongs to others, and you have to give it away. And that's mi tzedek. That's because that's shurat adin that you have to give it away. It's not chesed to give it away. All right, now, Rabbi Elazar Amiktivi is a stirim sukim. It says, Lacha Hashem. Hashem there is Adoshem. Lacha Adoshem chesed. You Hashem is chesed. Uktiv ki ata tishalim leish ki maaseyu. You're going to pay each individual according to his ways. B'tchila, in the beginning, ki ata shalem ki maaseyu. You're going to pay people shurat adin. Ulusof, in the end, Hashem chesed. And in the end, Hashem will grant them chesed. He'll be forgiving. He'll have rachamim and give them opportunity to rectify the situation. All right. Ilfi, Ramri lo ilfa, Rami k'tiv, stiram sukim, rav chesed. In the pasuk, in the shlosh semidot, it says Hashem is rav chesed. K'tiv emet. Emet means shurat adin, truth. That's Chutama Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, means Midat Adin. Rav Chesed means that Hashem lets things go for a bit. Tchila Emet, in the beginning, he tries to do Midat Emet, which didn't work. So, Rav Chesed, in the end, it was Rav Chesed. That's what the Midrash Chazal that Rashi quotes in the beginning of Sefer Breshit, that how come the first parak in Breshit uses the shame of Elukim only, and the second parak in Breshit uses the shame Yudkei Vavkei. Shame Elukim is known as Shema Teva or Midat Adin. On the other hand, the Shem Yudke Bavke is the Shema Rachamim. That's what the Midrash quotes. Allah b'machshavato libarot olam b'din, Midat Adin. Shem wanted to create the world with Midat Adin. Ra, that it wouldn't work with Midat Adin. People couldn't live by Midat Adin. And therefore, Chazara, v'nishtate, the Shem Yudke Bavke, the Shema Rachamim. In order to give people the opportunity, in order to give the world an opportunity to survive, because it can't live in absolutes. And Teva, why is Shem looking Teva? Because you have an action-reaction. Teva is exactly that. There's a natural course, like we call Mother Nature. If something happens, then automatically another reaction happens. Chemical reactions, biological reactions, all of those are Teva. Those are Elukim, that's Midat Adin. Rachamim says, no, that we're not going to follow the absolute din, the absolute line. We're going to give opportunities. Things will break. So Yudkei Vavkei is used for Nisim, for miracles, because miracles are outside of the natural course of action-reaction. It's also used, the Shema Rachamim, which is when Hashem gives us the opportunity to do tshuva, gives us the opportunity to rectify the situation. Vayavor Hashem al panav vayikra. So this is a very famous Gemara. It's our practice when it comes to the Yamim Noraim, every time we say Slichot, Am Rav Yochanan Imalei Mikra Katuf, Yev Shadom No. Was not for the fact that the pasuk says it, we wouldn't be able to say this. Hashem wrapped himself up in a talit like a shliach tzibur. And then he showed him Moshe seder tefillah, meaning the shlosh esrei midot. Amarlo kozman shiyosel chutim. Anytime Bnei Yisrael sin, yasul lefanai kaseder zeh. They should do this in front of me. Mani mochel them. I will then forgive them. So he shows them the shlosh esrei midot. That's what we say in the Kel Melech. Yosheva Kisei Rachamim, that says that Hashem is going to be Mavir Rishon Rishon, and then Kamo that he promised to Moshe Rabbeinu, what is that he showed to Moshe Rabbeinu? Exactly this, that any time we come before Brit Kruta, we're going to see in a second, that there is a covenant with Hashem, with us, that if we come before him with the Shlosh Esrei Midot, that he will forgive us. Hashem, Hashem, why does it start out with Hashem's name twice? Ani hu kodem shechta adam, I am Hashem before the person sins, ani hu l'achar shechta adam, and I'm also Hashem after the person sins. V'yaseh tshuva, and then he has to do tshuva. Kel rachum v'chanun, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Brit Kruta, the Yud Gimel Midot, Sheinan Chozrot Reikan. There is a covenant with the 13 Midot that you will never come back empty-handed if you use the Shlosh Esrei Midot. Shenemar, Hinei Anochi Koreit Brit. It's in the Psukim subsequent to that. It says, Hinei Anochi Koreit Brit. I have a covenant with you. What's the covenant? That which was mentioned beforehand, which is the Shlosh Esrei Midot. As far as the Shlosh Esrei Midot are concerned, it's not so simple what the Shlosh Esrei Midot are. You can see here there's a Tosfot, there's a Gaon, there's a Reminiscent Gaon. One of the main issues is, when you count the Shlosh Esrei Midot, is Hashem Hashem two Midot or one Midah? Is Hashem Lifnei the Chet and Hashem Achar HaChet two Midot of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, or is Hashem the beginning? Hashem is the status quo, that's the baseline. Then there's Hashem Achar HaChet, and then Hashem Kerachum, and these are all the Midot afterwards. That lays into this count of the 13 of the Shlosh Esrei Midot. Also, later on, Nosei Avon, Besha, Bechata, over there, is that one, or is that two? Banot and Pshayim are different, we know from the Gemara and Yoma. Or is it the same Midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Hashem lets sins or takes sins away? So, okay, there are different types of sins, but he takes them away. Erech HaPayim, that's one, or is that two? Okay, Lo Yenakei, the question of the remainder of the Pasuk, is that counted in the 13 Midot? Anyway, there are numerous lists of the Shlosh Esrei Midot. You can know here that Tosafot himself takes up and brings at least two or three in the daf here, especially once the Kabbalists got involved. The Arizal and the Sefer Chassidim, they have a very different count of the Shlosh Esrei Midot, different than what we see here, according to Tosafot or Nisim Gaon and others that have a count of the Shlosh Esrei Midot. Again, it's not clear because there seems to be overlapping or breaking down of a single Midot, like Erech HaPayim. Is that one or is that two? That's what Tosfot grapples with over here. Certain things like that. And Chesed Alafim. Say Chesed one and Alafim two, or say Chesed Alafim just one Midah. So all of these are Midot HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is the way that Hashem interacts with the world. So these are, in a sense, not making Hashem into these specific Midot. But when we talk about Midot HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or names of Hashem, we're talking about the way that Hashem interacts with us. And all of these Midot are different ways in which Hashem interacts with us. And that's what the Shlosh Esrei Midot are. And Midot HaRachamim are the fact that Hashem will not judge us immediately. The reason that you don't come back empty-handed when you use the Shlosh Esrei Midot is that a recognition of Hashem as being the Hashem, that Hashem has given us a grant, a waiver, because He's not going to judge us Midat HaDin, but rather be Midat HaRachamim. And in judging us Midat HaRachamim, He gives us the opportunity to do tshuva. But that's what you have to do. You have to take up that opportunity to do tshuva. And that's the next statement of Rabbi Yochanan. Dola tshuva shemikaret gezar dino shel adam. Tshuva is so great that it rips up the gzar din of an individual. Shneamar says in Yeshayahu, Hashmein leim v'amazeh, that the hearts of this nation are fat. That means fat over here. Hashmein means that they're not open to hearing other things. They're enjoying life without any considerations. Boznav hachbeit, and its ears are heavy. They don't listen. Beinav hasha, ben yir'eh be'einav u'boznav yishma. And their eyes, they turn away. So maybe they'll see, or maybe they'll hear. U'lelevavo yavin. And maybe their hearts will understand. Vishav, Rafalo, and then they will do tshuva, and I will cure them. So Amar le Rapapa le Abaye v'dima lifnei gzardin. How do you know that's achar gzardin? Maybe it is before the gzardin. Amar le Rafalo k'tiv. It says that he will cure him. Ezu davar shatzir rifua. You only need a cure. This isn't preventative medicine. This is rifuah, which means a cure. Remember, it's a gezar din. That's only once the gezar din is brought. So tshuva can rip up the gezar din already. Rafalo, this imagery of a holy, of sickness, and rifuah and cure is brought up by many in the Musar Sfarim, the Rav Soloveitchik in his Al HaTshuva, also talks about this extensively, that there are sicknesses of the goof, physical sicknesses, and physical sicknesses also have simanim, have symptoms, and then those symptoms tell you what the problem is, and then the problem is cured by taking medicines or doing certain treatments. The same thing is true by choli ha-nefesh or choli ha-neshama. Those choli of the nefesh have symptoms, feelings of guilt, different pangs a person has that tell them that there's something wrong. And then that choli ha-nefesh is cured by doing tshuva. Tshuva is the ripui, is the medicine or the curative property to take care of the problem of the sickness of the nefesh. Meitavit, ashav bentayim mochlim lo. Lo shav bentayim, afilu evi kol ayalei nevayot shalom in mochlim lo. So we have a brayta that says, a person does tshuva between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, they forgive him. Lo shav bentayim, if he doesn't do tshuva in that period of time, afilu evi kol ayalot nevayot, he brings all these fat, big animals as korbanot, doesn't help him anymore. It says, That's an individual versus the tzibur, which is a very important distinction over here. That's why it's so important to be a part of a tzibur, because the tzibur is granted many more rights than the yachid himself. When it comes to a yachid, then between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, he has a special opportunity to do tshuva and be forgiven. After that point in time, it's very hard. Whereas the tzibur, anytime they approach Hashem, they have the ability to change the gzar din. So being a part of the tzibur is always an important part. That's part of why we daven b'tzibur. It's a very fundamental, and that's what the Isha Shunamit says to Elisha when she says, do you want me to speak to the king? The Midrash over there, allegorically, the Elkosh Shimoni says that he's asking her, do you want me to beseech Hashem? And she answers him, B'toch ami ani yoshavet. I sit amongst my people. I'm part of the tzibur, I don't have any worries. When I'm part of the tzibur, I'm protected. I have no afforded the protection of the tzibur, I don't have to worry. But when you're a yachid, there are risks. Meitevei, enei Hashem lukecha ba. This is talking about the pasuk that's found in Dvarim, in Parshat Ekev. Hashem says, my eyes are on the land of Israel all the time. And there it says, Mereshit Shana ad acharit Shana. That's the pasuk that we talked about Rosh Hashanah, Nidon, Mashiach Basof. Itim l'tova, itim l'ra. Sometimes that's good, sometimes that's bad. Itim l'tova, sometimes that's good. Ketzat, how's that? Hare Shayu Yisrael, Rishayim Gimurim, Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, they were totally evil. They were wrong, they had sins, everything. Paskulam Gishamim Ulotim. And then Hashem Paskin, that they only get a small amount of rain that year. Sof Chazruban, they did tshuva. Olosif Aleim Efshar. Hashem can't add into the amount of rain that falls. Shkvar Nigzerak Zera. The Gzera was already done. Elokosh Baruch Hu Moridan Bizmanam Ala Aretz Hatzrichalehen. I call the fiarets. Then what Hashem does is he brings the rain at the right time in the right spots so that it does exactly what it needs. So many times rain goes to waste because it falls in the wrong places, falls at the wrong time. But over here, if it falls in the right place, even this smaller quantity can qualitatively do what a large amount of rain would do. Itim l'ra'ah. Sometimes it's to the bad. Ketzad. Sharei Yisrael tzadikim gomrim Rosh Hashanah. Yisrael were tzadikim on Rosh Hashanah, Paskulam, Gishamim Rubim. They were granted much rain over the next year. Sof Chazruban, and again, they reversed that. They start to do evil or bad. Fachot Mehem Yafshar. You can't reduce the amount of rain. Shkvar Nigzerak Zera. The Gzera was, the din was already in place. So Kosh Baruch Moridan Shalob Bizmanam. He brings them in not at the right time. Ala Aret Sheinat Tzrichalehen. In places that they don't need them. Like in the Midbar, and over the ocean. He brings them in places they don't need them. Why do you mean Litova, that he does them in the right place? Just tear up the Gzar Din and add more rain. We just said before, we just sing, we just say, okay, Tshuva can rip up a Gzar Din. My brother says, no, it only works between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. My says, no, that's no problem, that's a Yochid. Yochid has that unique opportunity between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. The Tzibor can tear up a Gzar Din anytime they do Tshuva. So here we have a case, and in Rosh Hashanah they were in Gzar for a little rain, they do Tshuva. So now, why can't Hashem rip up the Gzar Din? So that's the question here. Why do you mean that he brings the rain at the right place, the right time? Just rip up the Gzera and bring them the rain they need. Shani Otam Defshar Ba'ochi. That's different. Over there, Hashem has an alternative. Hashem's alternative to take the same quantity, not change the Gzera, and still make it better for them. So Hashem, when he doesn't need to change the Gzera, and still be able to benefit the individuals, or here, the Tzibor, he'll do that without ripping up the Gzar Din. Tashma. Quote the Psukim from Tehillim Kuvzayin. Tehillim Kuvzayin is the source for the Arba who have to bring a Korban Todah, the four people who bench Gomel. One of those individuals is Yordei Hayam Ba'oniyot, those people that go out, seafarers, that go out onto the oceans. Osei Malacha B'mayim Rabim. They do their work out on the great waters. Hema Ra'u Maseh Hashem. They really see the works of Hashem. Vayomer Vayameid Ruach Sarah. And it came in a great wind and a storm came upon them. Utrumeim galav, and the waves are up high. Yachogu b'yanu kashikor. They are toppling and celebrating like a drunkard, meaning that they're being tossed all over the place like a little feather. Vayitzaku al Hashem b'tzar lehem. They call out to Hashem in their difficulties. And Hashem answers them. Yudu l'Hashem chasto. And then they give thanks to Hashem. They thank him for his chesed, for saving them. If you look in Perek Tehillim Kuf Zayin, there are four series of these. If you find these key words, Yudu l'Hashem chasto, and Vayitzaku l'Hashem etzar lehem, four times it repeats itself in the Perek Kuf Zayin. One of them is someone who's imprisoned, that is let free. Someone who's crossing through the Midbar, and then finally reaches civilization. Other is one who got in the ocean. And the fourth one is someone who was sick, fell ill to their edge of death, and comes back and is healed and is cured. So all these people, those are the people who have to bring a Korban Todah. Those are the people who bench Gomel. And then the end of the Perek is about the land of Israel. That the land of Israel that was once a desert and grew nothing is revived. and is brought back and gives flourishes and does under the hands of the Jews. And that is the last sequence there. That last sequence is speaking about Latid Lavo. If you look at the parish of the Meiri on that Perek in Tehillim, he says that there will come a time when the Jews will return to Eretz Yisrael, and this Perek Tehillim will come true. And he's obviously referring to what is currently happening in Eretz Yisrael, that the Jews come back and the land flourishes.
It's almost prescient in the way that he describes what's going to take place in Eretz Yisrael when the Geula comes. And it's almost a word-for-word description of what's transpired in Eretz Yisrael over the last 75 years.
And that's why many people say this Perek Tehillim on the day of Yom HaTzmaut, because of that last piece of that Perek Tehillim, which is in concert with the other ideas that are above it, that it's a todah, saying thank you to Hashem, simple thank you to Hashem. Right, simaniot ke'achim v'rakim. They have, if you look there, there are simanim in the Perek Tehillim, outside of Zayam Nuns, which are only found in the Chumash by Vayim ben Zoharon, found in Nach and other places. One of those places is here. In this Perek Tehillim, there are upside down Nuns to demarcate ke'achim v'rakim she'betorah l'malacha. Tzako, call them Gzar Din Nenin. If you scream out before the Gzar Din, you're answered. Tzako l'achar Gzar Din Eina Nenin. If you scream out afterwards, then you're not answered. So that's what Rashi says over here. The upside down Nun comes to tell you a drasha that there's a miut here. That when it says that they called out to Hashem, B'tzar Lahem, Umimitzukutayem, Tiyem Hashem takes them out of their depths into their troubles, that's only true when they daven before the Gzar Din. But after the Gzar Din, it doesn't help you. That goes against what we just said over here. Haninami yichidim damo. The Gemara says, again, those are individuals. We're not talking about a tzibur over there. We're talking about individuals over there. Individuals. Tshuva helps. Ben Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Tshuva helps before the Gzar Din. After the Gzar Din, it's very difficult. And even for the tzibur, Tosafot says, Bekoshi, that Hashem uproots or undermines the Gzairah that he made already, and therefore it's always better to get it before the Gzar Din than after the Gzar Din. It's the same thing when one goes to court. It's always better to get the evidence in and win in the first round rather than have the court decision go against you and then have to appeal. And it's much harder to overturn something in an appeal than it is to get it right the first time around. So that's the same thing over here. Tashma, Shala Bluria HaGioret et Rabban Gamliel. So this woman who was a Gioret asked Rabban Gamliel, Ti b'toratchem, says in your Torah, Shelo Yisa Panim, the one who does not favor others. Hashem does favor. Now, as Tosafot points out, the question doesn't even get off the ground. Because in the Pasuk, Asher lo yisa panim, there is Hashem speaking about the individuals. Hashem will not favor those who are rich and those who are of higher stature when he comes to punish them. If they do wrong, Hashem's going to punish them. He doesn't favor them. Yisa Hashem panam elecha, whose panim are we talking about there? The panim of Hashem. Tosafot says there's no stira. The panim in the Pasuk in Dvarim is talking about the panim of individuals, of human beings. The panim in the Pasuk in this week's Parsha Parshat Naso in Birkat Kohanim is talking about Hashem's panim. So there's really no stira. Nevertheless, the Gemara darshans it as a stira anyway. Nitfala Rabbi Yossi HaKohen. Rabbi Yossi HaKohen jumped in to answer. Amarla, Sholach Mashal. I'll give you a parable. Lama Davar Dumeh. Person similar to Adam Shenoshe B'chavero Maneh. Person who is a creditor to another individual for a Maneh. B'kavalo Zman B'fnei HaMelech. He set a time in front of the king to repay it. B'nishpalo B'chaye HaMelech. And he swears by the life of the king that he's going to pay it back. He gives man below piro. It comes the time and he doesn't pay it back. He comes to placate the king. He swore in the life of the king. Now he's got to placate the king that he didn't pay it back. I'll forgive you for my kavod. I'm okay with that. The affront that to me, I'm okay with it. Lech upayeset chavercha. But go take care of your friend who you owe the money to. Hachanami kan babiroch ben adam lemakom. Kan babiroch ben adam lechaveiro. The difference is between ben adam lechaveiro and ben adam lemakom. When it comes to ben adam lemakom, Hashem can be no sepanim. Hashem can forgive. He can let things go because it's his kavod. He's able to be mavir al midotav in a sense in that way that he can let things go. On the other hand, when it comes to individual where you did a chet ben adam lechaveiro, Hashem can't let it go because you have to get the michila of the individual you affronted before Hashem lets it go. Hashem says, I can let this part go, but I can't let the part ben adam lechaveiro go. So that's how he explains this stira. The difference is between whether it's before the Gzar Din or after the Gzar Din. So there you see, before the Gzar Din, Hashem is no sepanim. After the Gzar Din, Hashem is not no sepanim anymore. I mean, it becomes much more difficult after the Gzar Din. So again, this goes against what we said here, that Tshuva can uproot a Gzar Din. Mar says again, Nahavichanami b'yochid, that's talking about an individual. By individuals, that's true. Before the Gzar Din, they have the opportunity to change the Gzar Din. After the Gzar Din, there's no sipanim. It's very hard to change it, almost impossible to change it. That's by yochid. Where does tshuva help? Tshuva helps before the Gzar Din. On the other hand, by the tzibur, tshuva helps before the Gzar Din, of course, but after the Gzar Din as well, it helps out. Tosfot over here quotes from the other Gemarot, where the Gemara answers differently. Gemara Brachot and other places answers differently, and Tosfot puts them all together. He actually makes them all into one unit. He says, how could it be that I don't favor? One is talking about Umot Olam, is what talking about Bnei Yisrael. Umot Olam, I don't give them Nisopanim, Bnei Yisrael, I give them Nisopanim. And then says the Malachim, should I not give Nisopanim to Bnei Yisrael when I told them that they have to bench only for Zviyah, when they're satisfied? And they go ahead and bench, even when they eat a Beitz or a Kazayit, they bench. I mean, that Bnei Yisrael go b'fnei mishur et hadin. The din is you don't have to bench when you're satisfied. If you're not satisfied, you don't have to bench. Yet, we bench for a Beitz or a Kazayit. So we win b'fnei mishur et hadin. Hashem says, just like they act b'fnei mishur et hadin, I should act b'fnei mishur et hadin. So of course I'm no sipanim to them. On the other hand, the Umot Olam, who want everything about the letter of the law, and not no sepanim to them, because they don't go lifni mishurat din. So Tosfot over there, it says there's kodim gzar din, achar gzar din, which is what Rabbi Akiva suggests over here. There's also there the nesopanim of the people who act lifni mishurat din. So Tosfot puts them all together and says that a person who acts lifni mishurat din, he gets nesui panim, and he might even get it after gzar din. That's a question that Tosfot deals with, or only lifni gzar din. But lifni gzar din, a person has the possibility of getting nesopanim if he does tshuva. So Tosfot over there tries to bring all these different drashot together and make them into one unit and say that they all apply. Lifnei gzar din, achar gzar din, whether you do acted lifnei mishurat din, he puts them all together and creates a single picture of when Hashem forgives. The bottom line is, it's much easier, lifnei gzar din, that's why tshuva between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim is so important. That's also why tshuva achar gzar din is much harder and only with the tzibur, and that's why we always try to be with the tzibur, because the tzibur gives us a power that we don't have as a yachid. Okay, we'll stop over here. Oh.